But if you have a Bible with you, and I trust you do, please turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, please, is our Bible reading this morning. John chapter 15. We're going to commence the reading in the first verse. Says, I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Amen. We'll end our reading just at verse 14. I trust the Lord will even add his own blessing to God's word today. Just with our Bibles open now, we're going to even come and we're going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord even for help as we come now to the message. So let's pray and let's even seek God again. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for all that has even gone into eternity this morning here in the meeting. We thank thee for the hymns that we've been singing and been able to sing about a great God in heaven and how great you are, Lord. And we just thank thee and praise thee today for all that you do and all that you've done for us. We thank thee most of all, even for our great salvation today, and even for saving wretched and vile sinners. And we pray even now, as we've read God's word, that we will even be in our own hearts preparing ourselves even to hear what God has to say. O Lord, prepare me, prepare my heart. I pray that you will even fill me now with thy Spirit, that God would even be glorified in all that is said and done, that everything that is said today will be the word of God. There'll be no words of man, no opinions of myself or what I want to preach on. But, O Lord, may it be God and God alone. So, Lord, come and bless us. Come and visit us even at this time and even answer prayer. And, O Lord, just give help in the remainder of the meeting. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to commence our service this morning by asking a question. I want to ask the question this morning, what is love? I'm sure if I went around the church this morning and asked each and every one of you individually, no doubt I would get many different answers. And perhaps for some, love, it is getting a bunch of roses, some chocolates delivered to your house on Valentine's Day. Perhaps for others, it's a diamond engagement ring, a marriage, a commitment of love to that person. Perhaps like my wife, and we've just moved house, perhaps like her, love for her is doing the dishes and hoovering up the carpets and other things as well. That's how I show her I love her. Perhaps you're like myself and you love food, and after a long day's work you come home and it's been a busy day at work, and you come home and your wife, your husband has the dinner on the table, and you know that person loves you. You see, they say a way to a man's heart is through his stomach, don't they? But you know, these are but a few examples that we could give this morning of what love is. You see, in all those examples that I've given today, we will note a common theme. You see, the love discussed here is based upon something being done. It is an action that is resulting in a reaction, if you like. But you look around the world today, and this word loved, it is tossed about in society, isn't it? Because many will say it doesn't matter what you want to be, because God is love. And us as Christians, we're told we need to show more love to people. We need to show more love to people who practice that which is against God's word. And yes, whilst we must always show love toward those individuals, we must always show a loving heart as Christ showed to us. At the same time, we still have to hate that sin. You see, the world's view of love is clearly very different to the Bible's view of love. Because the Bible speaks of the love of one man and one woman, doesn't it? It speaks of the love of parents for their children. It speaks of the love of a Christian to another Christian. It speaks of the love of God towards people as well. And it is this particular love here, the love of God, that we see this morning in our passage together. Because Christ speaks of this love in John chapter 15 in the verse 9. Read that verse with me there. He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." You see, this love here, it is unlike any other type of love imaginable. You see, it's a pure love, it's a holy love, it's a perfect love. That love here is unconditional. It is a love that, humanly speaking, it is without equal. And this morning, I just want to take the words here of John chapter 15 and the verse 9. I want to take this as my text this morning, and I want to consider together in our time the subject, the love of Christ, the greatest love of all. We're going to look this morning at the love of Christ, which is the greatest love of all. And John chapter 15 and the verse 9, there are three very clear points. The verse is divided very nicely up into three parts. And the first thing I want us to consider together this morning is the example of Christ's love. Because again, look at how the verse begins there. It says, "As the Father hath loved me." You see, this is the example of the love here of the Father toward his Son. And that word love there, if you were to read it in the original language, it is the Greek word agape. That word agape, it describes an unconditional love. It describes an active love. I say an active love because it always results in an action. The same word there, agape, it is also used by God the Father in Matthew chapter 3 in the verse 17. Let me read that to you. It's there, the picture before us is Christ's baptism. Matthew 3 in the verse 17, he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That word beloved, there it is, the same Greek word agape. And the word beloved, it means esteemed, it means dear, it means worthy of love. And of course, this morning, these are all surely suitable descriptions when speaking of the love between the Father and his Son. But you know, those same words there in Matthew chapter 3 in the verse 17, the words there, "This is my beloved Son," we read of it many times throughout the New Testament, don't we? I think it's seven times in total we read the same words, "This is my beloved Son." And you know, whenever we read something in Scripture and it's repeated time and time again, it's important, isn't it? You see, the fact that this relationship is so prominent in the Word of God, the fact that so many different writers even refer to this love, it shows us today, surely, the importance of it, doesn't it? Because when God the Father here speaks of his love for his Son here, he is speaking of the love that exists within the Trinity alone. You see, that love that I'm referring to is that love that is co-equal between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You see, there's no other kind of love comparable to the love that is found within the Trinity. And this love is spoken of in many ways throughout Scripture. It's said to be a love that has no beginning, no ending. It's said to be eternal. It is said to be unchangeable. It is said to be an act of love also. Just turn with me for a moment over a few chapters there to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 in the verse 24. You see, as we read this verse together, we will see this eternal love. John 17 in the verse 24 says, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me." And here we see the eternal love. "For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." You see, those words there, "before the foundation of the world," they highlight to us this morning Christ pre-existing as the eternal God. Existing as the eternal God with the other three persons in the Trinity there. We see that love before the universe was created, don't we? You see, before the creation of the world, the Father's love here toward his Son, it was the same as we read there in John chapter 15 in the verse 9. That declares to us today it was an eternal love. It was a love that had no point in time, did not exist. We consider this morning the eternal love of God, and we consider that in light of God's nature, who God is in himself. We can only say it's not just an eternal love here, but it's also, as I said, an unchangeable love. It's unchangeable because God in his very nature is unchangeable, isn't he? Reference to that unchangeable love is found in James chapter 1 in the verse 17. You see, it says there in James chapter 1 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, that unchangeable love is seen in the end of that verse. There's no variableness, there's no shadow of turning. And if you were to take the words today of James chapter 1 and the verse 17, and if you were to compare them with the words of Isaiah chapter 53 in the verse 10, there are those today who will tell you that the Bible and these two verses, they contradict one another. You see, in Isaiah chapter 53 in the verse 10, we read, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." And some have taken these words to interpret them as evidence that God is changeable. Some have said that he loved Christ and then he didn't love him. But no, God is unchangeable, and therefore what they are saying today is error. It's wrong. It's heresy. You see, it's wrong to think that the Father here, when it says here that he pleased the Lord to bruise him, it's wrong to think that the Father took pleasure in the suffering of his Son. You see, the truth is that he loved his Son. He loved his Son for obeying his will. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he continued to love the Father through those sufferings on the cross of Calvary. You see, it was always in the plan of God. It was always in that eternal decree before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would go to the cross. And by obeying his Father's will, what was he doing? He was exercising this love. Christ himself declares that very thing in John chapter 10. The verses 17 to 18, let me read those verses to you. He says there, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself." And you know, the key words here in those two verses are this. He says there, "I lay down my life." But then he says, "But I lay it down myself." And that shows us today the obedience of Jesus Christ to his Father. See, the Father always loved Christ. And that love was unchanging even when he sent him to die on the cross of Calvary. But you know, that love was only further portrayed by Jesus Christ's obedience to go to the cross. The Father's love here, it was eternal. It was unchangeable, but it was also an active love. I say it was active because it produced an action. And evidence of that is seen in John chapter 3 and the verse 35. It says there, "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand." And the key word here again in John chapter 3 is that word loveth. You see, the word loveth there, it is written in such a way that it is written in the continual sense in the English language. And what it simply means is that he continues to love. He will never stop loving. He continually loves the Son here. He continually gives all things into his hand as the mediator, as the redeemer of mankind. You see, this morning here we see this great example of Christ's love. We see the Father's love toward his Son. But then in the second place this morning, we're going to consider for a moment the extension of Christ's love. We see secondly here the extension of Christ's love, because again, look with me at John chapter 15 in the verse 9. He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." And it is those words, "so have I loved you," that shows us today the extension of Christ's love toward us. Christ here, in the context of the chapter, he's speaking to his disciples. He makes a qualifying statement to them here that in the same way that the Father has loved me, by extension, so too have I loved you. See, in making the statement here in John 15, we see the love within the Trinity extended to God's chosen people. Turn back again to John 17, for note with me those words in the verse 23. John 17 and verse 23. Jesus is speaking here and he says, "I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." You see, the words here in John chapter 17, they are spoken again to the disciples. The disciples there, they're in the upper room, aren't they? And this is the final time that they would be together until after the resurrection. Christ would have offered these words here in verse 23 as an encouragement. Would have offered them as comfort to his disciples, because this word "loved" here is written in such a way as to highlight the reassurance that Christ was giving to them at this time. He's saying here that just as he loved them already, he will continue to love them after he'd gone to the cross. You see, that word "loved," it's written in a very peculiar tense in the Greek language. It's written in what is called the aorist tense. The aorist tense, it simply means, so we were considering earlier the continual sense, where it's continual along like that. You know, you think of a straight line that has no beginning, no ending. But in the aorist tense, it speaks of one particular point. So think of one dot upon a line. When was that one point in time where this love was shown? Well, it was already, as we've said, in eternity's past. He says, in the same way that he loved them from all eternity, is the same way that he showed that love to them in his 3 years in his earthly ministry. You see, when the disciples quarreled among themselves regarding who was going to be the greatest, what do we see? We see Christ still loved them. When they failed to understand that it was necessary for Christ to die, when he had to rebuke Peter there, he still loved them. And when Peter denied knowledge of him there, he still loved him. And you know what encouragement that should be to us this morning, because whenever you and I fail the Lord, we too can be comforted here, because Christ is staying, he still loves you. He has loved you and I with an everlasting love, and he will continue to love us eternally, no matter what we do. Was the theologian John Brown. John Brown, commenting here in John chapter 15, and the verse 9, he says that the most important word in this verse is the first word there. It is the word "as." You see, he says, "as the Father hath loved me." And that little word "as" there, he says, is used to describe the love being spoken of here. Because he says here, that word "as," it does not indicate a quality of love, but rather a similitude, a similarity of love. And he says this because of the two objects in question, namely the Father and the Son. You see, both Father and Son, he says, are infinite creatures. And therefore, the love between Father and Son, it is an infinite love. But then if you take the love between Christ and his people, that then is a love between something that is infinite, which is Christ, and something that is finite, which is man. And therefore, when we consider this great truth, we must see that Christ's love here, it's similar in nature, it's similar in kind, but it cannot be similar in degree. See, the love between two infinite things is much greater than that between an infinite and a finite. But you know, today, how amazing is it to think? How amazing is it to even think in our own minds today that Christ loves us? That we have a love today that is even comparable to the love that the Father has for his Son. You see, it's amazing, I think, that Christ would even love us at all. Because Christ, how he could ever love someone as filthy and wretched and sinful as me? I'll never understand that. I'll never be able to understand why Christ loves me. The Bible speaks much of the love of Christ toward his people, doesn't it? In John chapter 13, in the verse 1, Christ speaks here of his unchanging love. It says there, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." He loved them to the end. That love was unchanging even to the very end. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 4. Because not only do we see here the unchangeable love in John 13, but then now in Ephesians chapter 1 we see Christ's eternal love. Christ's eternal love seen here in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4 says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." See, the Apostle Paul is speaking here, isn't he? And he is stating here that there was never a time Never a time when Christ didn't love his people, because he chose them, he loved them from before the foundation of the world here. But you know, sadly today, the same thing cannot be said about our love toward Christ. You see, there was a time in our lives whenever we did not love Christ because we were still in our sin. There was a time when we did not love him, we could not love him. There was a time also when we would not love him. But you know, there was never a time whenever Christ did not love us. 1 John chapter 4, 19 tells us we love him. We love him because he first loved us. You see, the only reason that you and I could ever love Jesus Christ is because he first loved us. And how then did we come to love Christ? Well, it was by his act of love there toward us upon the cross of Calvary. And it is by the love that he continues to show you and I each and every day. You read those words there in Romans chapter 5 in the verse 8, and there are marvelous words. See, it says there, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, that very act there, spoken of in Romans chapter 5, is the greatest display of Christ's love, isn't it? You see, that Christ would go to the cross to pay a debt that was not his own. That he would suffer God's wrath that was not his own. You see, Christ was sinless. He is sinless. He never sinned. He never will sin. He never can sin. Yet he took upon himself our sin. And in showing that, he shows his love toward his people. And you know, that very thought today, it should thrill your heart today. It thrills my heart today. To know that Jesus Christ has paid it all for my sins. John chapter 15, in the verses 13 and 14, we read some of the most marvelous words in all of Scripture. Read them with me. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. You know, what a delight it is to even read those words. What a privilege it is today to be saved. And to personally claim those words there, ye are my friends, as your own. You see, I tell you today, Christ is the greatest friend that you and I will ever have. And our salvation, it is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. And therefore, you and I as Christians, we ought to always rejoice in that wonderful truth. See, may the cross ever be a thrill to our hearts today. May we never allow this great truth to grow cold in our hearts, to grow stale, to lose its meaning. You see, you hear most weeks, do you not, men preaching the gospel. And they preach about the cross and they tell us about how Jesus Christ loved us. And you know, there is the tendency perhaps over time for that to lose its meaning. But you know, we must never allow that to happen, because the cross is everything. The cross is our everything, and today we should have that same love for Christ. We should have a greater love for Christ today even than we did whenever he first saved us. See, we've seen here in John 15 the example of Christ's love, as the Father hath loved me. We've seen the extension of Christ's love, that Christ has loved us. But thirdly and finally, now this morning, I want us to consider what I'm calling the enactment of Christ's love. The enactment of Christ's love, or simply what I mean, is how you and I as Christians can show that love toward other people. So you read again John 15, read the final part of that verse. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. It says here, continue ye in my love. It's those words there, continue my love, that show us how we can love others. In the chapter here, it was a commandment of Christ to his disciples. But surely it is a commandment to all Christians today. You see, that word continue, it actually can be translated to mean abide. And therefore what Christ here is saying is, abide ye in my love. And to abide in something, it means to remain in it. It means to dwell in it. It means to be present in it. You see, that word abide there is the same word there in John 15 in the verse 4. We read it this morning. Let's read it again. Three times in that verse we see this word abide. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. See, in the parable here we have before us, it's the parable of the vine, isn't it? You see, Christ here is saying that only those Christians who abide in his love can bear fruit. Because like the fruit must be attached to a tree to get all of its nutrients, to ripen, to grow, and to mature, if we as Christians are to do the same, then we must remain attached to Christ. Because let me ask a simple question today. What happens to a piece of fruit when it falls to the ground and is left? Well, I grew up in County Armagh, and County Armagh is famous for its apple orchards, and therefore I had the great privilege of going out and picking apples in the summer. And I remember going as a young boy and going to pick apples in the orchard, and I remember still today looking at those apples, the lovely green, fresh apples on the tree. But of course I was too young to climb the ladders, I wasn't allowed to do that, so I had the wonderful job of collecting up the ones that had fallen to the ground. And you, any here today who have picked up apples that have been on the ground for a while, will know how they are. See, they aren't green, they aren't fresh, are they? But they're brown, they're rotting, they're decaying, they're moulding. And you know, I believe this is such an accurate description of a Christian who's not abiding in Christ. You see, if we stop reading, if we stop praying, if we stop having our time with God, then we will quickly lose that freshness. We'll quickly not be fruitful anymore. We will quickly lose our zeal for God. But how then can you and I as Christians abide in this love? Well, again, John 15 gives us the answer, because read what it says in verse 10. Christ says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, quite simply it is here by being obedient to his commandments. But Christ here isn't saying that my love is conditional on you keeping those commandments, because we've already seen it, that love is unconditional. But no, he's saying here that by striving to keep them, we will show him that we love him. And he uses himself here as the example. You see, he himself abided in the love of his Father. He kept his Father's commandments. That commandment would have been, of course, obeying all of the moral law. But it would have also here been the obeying that commandment to go to the cross. And you see, by obeying his Father's will, here he showed him how much he loved him. And he gives us here such a wonderful example of how we are to follow that love. See, in our effort to be like Christ, which should be the desire of all Christians, we ought to be doing our utmost to keep the commandments. Keeping those commandments not out of obligation to do so, not because it's a set of rules or a set of things to tick a box. But no, we should be doing that as an expression of our love toward Christ, to show him that we love him. John 15, verse 11 speaks of how obeying these commandments tell us that our joy might be full. And you know, whenever you read about joy in the Bible, biblical joy, it's very different to what the world would have you to believe. You see, biblical joy is not mere happiness. It's not some airy-fairy feeling that the world would have you to believe. But no, biblical joy is having an inner contentment. It's having an inner satisfaction, because no matter what the situation in life, God is working out all things for our good and for his own glory. But how then can you and I show forth, how can we abide in this love that Christ has shown us? Well, look with me at verse 12. He says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So we can abide in this love here by showing love to one another. By exhibiting that same love to one another that Christ has shown to us, because that is of the utmost importance to every Christian. You're not only to love your brothers and sisters in Christ here, but also to love the souls of those who are outside of Christ today. Let me ask you another question. How do you treat your fellow Christians today? Do you and I show kindness and compassion toward them always? Do we do our best by them? Or perhaps you and I have the tendency to put them down from time to time. Perhaps you speak about other Christians behind their back. Perhaps you even laugh about them. How do you treat the unsaved today? Do you show them the love of Christ? Do you go out of your way today to show them this love of Christ that Christ has shown to us here? Or do you go to the other side of the road? Do you avoid the unsaved? Do you never tell them about Christ? You see, we must always be careful in our attitude as Christians, because our testimony in front of the unsaved, it will be so important, won't it? Be so important, because that will show whether or not we have the love of Christ in us. Just turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 3 as we close this morning. First John chapter 3, please. I'm going to read together verses 16, 17, and 18. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You see, these words in these three verses today, they show us how we are to imitate the love that Christ has for us. Because in verse 16 there, it speaks of being willing to sacrifice everything for your fellow Christians. Then in verse 17 we are told that by helping those in need, we will show that we have the love of God in us. And in verse 18 there, we see that love applied practically. You see, it's not a love of words here, but it is a love of action. It is that agape love that Christ shows to us every moment of our lives, and it is that love that he shows to us each and every day, and by that action going to the cross. See, as Christians, we have this commandment to love one another. But perhaps you're here today and maybe you're not saved, maybe you're cold of heart even, and the love of God's not in you today. You have considered in great detail this morning the love of Christ. We have seen how this love was displayed in that wonderful way of going to the cross. Yet today it finds you still in your sin. You haven't repented of that sin today. It is my prayer this afternoon that you would come and seek Christ in faith and repentance. You will experience this love today. And perhaps you've been coming to this church for a long time. I don't know you. But perhaps you've been coming for a long time and you've never got saved, but you've wanted to get saved. And perhaps even in recent days, the Lord's been burdening you and he's been speaking to you about salvation and you want to get saved, but you don't know how to. Well, could I leave you with the words of Romans chapter 10 and the verse 9? See, it says there, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." See, salvation here involves confession. It involves recognizing you're a sinner. It involves realizing that because of your sin, you need to be saved. You cannot save yourself. I can't save you. No man can save someone. But that salvation is found solely in Jesus Christ and in that work he performed on the cross. You know, that's the truth of the gospel. That's what God's word tells us today. It's not my opinions and not what I think. But no, it's God's word. And therefore, if you're not saved, you need to grasp that. You need to believe that truth if you're ever going to get saved. So let me leave those words with you again today as we finish. Show us here how you can get saved. Romans 10 verse 9. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead," it says here you'll be saved. Therefore, if you're here today and you're not saved, then come, believe that truth today, and ask even Jesus Christ to save you. If I can speak to you afterwards, if I can even be of any help, then come and speak to me. I'd be happy to speak to you. But if you're here and you're not saved, don't leave the meeting without Christ. Amen.